Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Penny, can you please help pass the salad around? Penny's mom asked. 8-year-old Penny proudly held the salad bowl and walked from one adult to another around the dining room table.
Me help too,
squealed 2-year-old Benji, wriggling in his high chair.
You're too little, poo-poo face, replied 6-year-old Josh.
Mom, he announced, I'll help out with Benji.
Thanks, dear, his mom answered, spooning out the vegetables into a serving dish. That would be a big help.
Hey, Benji, Josh began. Want to eat like a grown-up? Let's start with some spaghetti.
He put a big bowl of spaghetti in front of Benji, who began running his fingers through the strands.
Worms, he gurgled. See the worms?
Watch this,
Josh directed, and took one strand at a time and sucked each noisily into his mouth. Benji looked fascinated, and then Benji had an idea. He turned to the grown-up sitting next to him and held out his hand.
Aunt Hannah, want a worm?
He asked. He looked up happily as his mom walked toward him, and he declared,
Benji, share!
From a parent's perspective, how can we best teach our children good manners? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest is an acknowledged authority on both food and manners. Today, we'll tap her expertise on the latter. Aviva Goldfarb is the author and publisher of The 6 O'Clock Scramble, a newsletter of easy, healthy recipes emailed to subscribers each week. A freelance writer and mother of two, she's currently writing The 6 O'Clock Scramble cookbook. Before having children and learning to cook, Aviva specialized in media relations for nonprofits in Washington, D.C. She has a young son and daughter and lives with her family in Maryland. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Aviva.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
What's the most important point for parents to remember about teaching their children good manners?
Well, I think there are a few important points that I try to keep in mind. The first is to try to set a good example. I think that when my husband and I had kids and it was time before too long for us to all be sitting down at the table, we realized that our manners needed some polishing up too. And before we could try to teach our children good manners, we had to remind ourselves about our good manners that our parents had taught us, because we don't want to be hypocritical. As, you know, parents, one of the hardest things is do what I say, not what I do. And we really wanted to do what we said too. So I think it is very important to set a good example. I think another really important thing to me and for my family is to try to keep the lessons of good manners positive and fun. And once it becomes critical and nagging, it's no longer fun for anybody. And for me, one of the most important things is to make family dinner times a nice time. We try to sit down as a family every evening, as hard as that is for us and for many other families. That is one of the only times, if not the only time, that we are all together. And sometimes it's only 10 or 20 minutes, but we're all together. And I don't want it to be a time, and neither does my husband Andrew, where we are being critical and getting mad at the children. And so we try to make mealtimes fun and positive for our family. And it really has worked. I think our kids like to come to dinner. And I think sometimes the kids in the other houses near us like to come to dinner, too. We often find ourselves surrounded with children at dinner time. But we usually keep it to our family of four.
For kids, what would you say is the difference between good manners and sort of the floor of what we all consider acceptable behavior? Some people call it civilized behavior when we have toddlers, you know, just sort of getting them to be part of the human race.
Well, yeah, maybe this is all a struggle to try to separate ourselves from beasts. You know, sometimes we tease our 7.5-year-old son, Solomon, that he was raised by gorillas. And we'll say, Solomon, you're eating dinner with your human family, not your gorilla family. And he'll, you know, sort of keep it positive, as I was saying, and he'll get it. And, you know, he'll, you know, sometimes go into long stories about his human family and versus his gorilla family. But I think that every family needs to decide what is most important for them. Mm-hmm. And I think most people, and I really think children, are looking for boundaries and to be told what is okay and what is not okay. It makes you feel very secure. I know it makes me feel more secure if I know where I need to be, when I need to be, what is expected of me. So I find that it is even okay to discuss with your spouse and definitely with your children what is important, what are important rules in our family for being at the dinner table. In our family, one of the most important things is to be kind to each other. In the story that you read at the beginning, where one of the children calls another poo-poo face, that's something, calling names in our family is just not acceptable, and our kids know that. And when their friends come over, sometimes we need to remind them that that's not okay. We don't call each other names. We don't tease each other. We are very kind. I'm very sensitive. My children know that if I make a dinner, and I make a lot of new dinners because I'm always testing new recipes out for the newsletter, the 6 o'clock scramble, if I make something, it's, you know, might be really good, it might be different, it might not be so good, but as my 5-year-old daughter Celia says, it's not nice to say ew, yuck, when someone puts down dinner in front of you. We have discussions about, you know, what are good manners, why are they important, what are some things. I asked a 9-year-old girl who lives around the corner from me yesterday what she would do if a friend came over and her friend didn't have good manners. And she said, you know, wouldn't be nice to stand up and scream, oh, my God, that's disgusting. She said a nicer way to do it would be to quietly say to them, please don't eat with your mouth open, because you don't want to humiliate your friend. And so I think, you know, it's important to engage your children in a discussion of what kind of behavior they don't like or they do like at the dinner table. My son said, when I asked him, what is an example of good table manners versus bad table manners, he said, don't use your fork as a cannon.
That's a very good example.
That's really important.
And I said, you know, and you never know what's going to come out of their mouths. It's a really fun, if everybody could sit down with their families tonight and ask their children what they think are some good rules of the table to remember, you probably will get some really hilarious answers.
Mm-hmm. We had two little kids come over for, I guess it was lunch, a number of years ago, and one was an older sister and one was a younger brother. And the older sister might have been 6 and the younger brother might have been 4. It was that kind of age group. And I don't remember what I gave them. And the younger brother looked at the older sister and said, Allie, do I hate this?
And that's, you know, that actually brings up a good point also. Part of being at our family dinner table is trying new foods and being open. And you might not like something, or you might not like the way that something looks. I know some kids say, I don't eat anything green. You really, you know, sometimes I say to my kids, you know, this might be your new favorite food. So, you know, for them to try something new and to be respectful and not to say, ew, that's disgusting. I hate that.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on helping kids to learn good manners.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We're talking with Aviva Goldfarb about helping kids learn good manners.
I remember when, I think my son was 3 or 4, and he would sometimes say, he was a very picky eater at the time, and he's gotten much, much better through exposure to constant new foods. But he said, oh, that's, you know, terrible. I hate that. And I said, oh, you know, that really hurts my feelings. I said, a nicer way to say that would be to say, Mom, I know you worked really hard on this.
Good. That's
but
great.
I just don't like it too much. And so he still remembers that, and he still says that sometimes.
You gave him an eye message, though. You said, that hurts my feelings.
Oh,
it
does.
You didn't say you
yes.
did something bad.
Yes. We do try to keep that sort of become, you know, part of who we are. And our kids really are amazing us and growing up to treat other people and talk to other people respectfully. And I think a part of it is teaching them, but a part of that is that we are so conscious of how we talk to them and how we talk to each other at the dinner table and elsewhere about everything, but trying to make everybody feel good about themselves. I remember my dad sometimes making light of the fact that when we would have soup, he would say, I hear you're enjoying your soup, you know, which was a nice way to do it.
That's very good.
And another way to do it, just getting to the how to teach children good manners, that just reminded me, is sometimes you can turn these things into a game. And you can say, let's see who can slurp their soup the quietest, who can drink their soup without making a sound. We play a game that my kids love. We started it when they had a friend over. My husband was working late that night, so I was eating with 3 children, ages 5, 6, and 7. And I made a whole dinner because I was, you know, going to keep it a nice dinner. And I was serving everybody their fish and their green beans and their dumplings. And as I was turning around to serve, I had just finished serving the last child. And I looked at the guest plate, and she had already eaten her green beans. And so I said, oh, did I forget to give you green beans? I'm so sorry. And I pretended I didn't know. And so I gave her more. And so all the kids started eating their food. And I turned to, oh, my goodness, I forgot to give you fish. I'm so sorry. And I would, you know, and here they were all eating their healthy food and making this game out of, you know, eating healthy foods because they wanted to trick me. And I kept thinking, oh, I can't believe I forgot to give you dumplings. You know, and they, so it turned into a fun game.
And motivation for eating whatever was on the plate.
Yes. You know, that's another way. Rather than saying you don't get dessert if you don't eat your vegetables, we actually have mostly taken dessert out of the equation at our house because it became such a battle about have I had enough dinner to have dessert. So desserts are reserved for special occasions, and it kind of took that eating dinner was about getting dessert away from us. It just wasn't working for our family. But I know different families have different ways of doing that. But regarding table manners, I think that it is important to choose your priorities. And you can either do this as a family or as a couple and to say, what is most important? And, you know, for us, it might be being kind to each other at the table and using silverware to eat your food. It's very hard for children to learn to use silverware. You know, they sit in a high chair when they're babies and they pick up their food and that's, you know, all that they can manage. And so it's a whole new training process. And with all of these things, I think that you can choose your priorities, as I said, and then discuss your priorities with your family and then phase them in. And so you can say, this week we're going to work on not eating with our hands. And just, you know, if you try to do everything at once, I think it can become a little overwhelming. And the kids are getting so many mixed messages and they're trying to do so many things that they might really feel frustrated. And then dinner time is no longer a positive experience for them.
It's interesting. At one point in our raising kids, when I had only three instead of four children, and they were all young, and I decided, well, if I make a really nice dinner, then we'll have lovely table manners. So they all helped, and it was going to be a lovely, fancy dinner. So we all sat down, and everything, the table was set, and it was beautiful. And they all turned to me and said, Mom, you're the waitress.
Things don't always
go as planned.
No. But that does bring up another point for me, which is sometimes if children are part of the process of creating the dinner and setting the table mm-hmm. and deciding who's going to sit where and how things are going to look and who's going to pour the milk, they become invested in the family meal also. And it's not just your dinner and they have to come and show up for it. It's everybody's dinner. And so I think making them part of the process, helping. Sometimes my kids actually fight over who gets to set the table because it's a privilege. And I know that won't always be true. But helping me, helping mommy, is something that they look forward to doing. And especially because I cook a lot and I make these easy meals every night, we have a lot of children in the neighborhood and everybody's interested in seeing what I'm doing. And so sometimes everybody wants to help and my kids feel like, well, wait a second, I want to help. And so it becomes this, you know, sometimes privilege to help me create dinner. And they sometimes are more likely to eat healthy, interesting foods if they've had a part in making it too. And I know these table manners, and then you think, well, great, my children have table manners, but they won't eat anything that I serve. Sometimes right. they're linked, you know, as something, another thing that you need to choose your priorities, make a commitment to teaching your family, if it's eating healthy foods, eating new vegetables, whatever it might be, and then phase them in. That is, it sounds so simple, but it keeps us from driving ourselves crazy by trying to do everything at once. Can you teach them to use silverware and keep their elbows off the table and sit up straight and keep their napkin in their lap? It's just become so overwhelming. And when you think about starting a new job or learning anything new, it's very tiring. And so if you break it into steps, and then when you feel like you've achieved one, you can start working on the next one.
Aviva, we have sort of sidestepped this a little bit, but when I introduced you, I mentioned the 6 o'clock scramble. You've alluded to that a couple of times. Maybe we should tell our listeners exactly what that is.
Sure. I love to cook, but I don't have tons of time to spend in the kitchen, and I like to cook very healthy foods. I'm one of those people who believes we should only make one dinner, not a different dinner for every member of the family, and so I try to make my food kid-friendly. And I started after I had Solomon when he was a baby by writing a cookbook with a friend, my friend Lisa Flaxman. That went really well, and it was sort of a hobby slash job, and we sold out. And then I decided when it was time to decide if I wanted to do another cookbook, because I didn't have any more in my closet to send out, decided what people really could use, what people told me they really needed, was not just a recipe book, but what are they going to make each week, because they don't have time to sit down and plan their menu for the week. And so it became an email newsletter that people can subscribe to for $4.95 a month. And they receive it every Wednesday. And it gives them 5 easy, healthy, family-friendly dinners that take 30 minutes or less to prepare, and a grocery list. So they can print out the grocery list and take it to the store. And for some people, it's exactly what they need to get them out of a rut or to get them cooking, because it takes time to sit down with your cookbooks. And then you don't know if something's good. You've never tried it before. At least this way they know that I have tried it and my kids have eaten it, and so maybe your kids will too.
And thank
so it's you. You're welcome. It's a weekly newsletter, and if people want to learn more about it, and also I have an article on my website about table manners, they can visit www.thescramble.com.
Okay. What are some stumbling blocks that parents frequently encounter when they're attempting to sort of give little ones the basics of good manners, things that you've seen all of us sort of go through so we don't think we're kind of weird and this never happened to anybody else? And
I think sometimes it's very hard to get children to sit down and stay at the table. And one of my friends said that she wonders how to get her children from dancing on top of the table, which is a frequent occurrence in her house. And one way to combat that we have used is to try to make mealtime fun and positive. We play games. We talk about our days. We don't exclude the children from conversation. Sometimes we talk about what's going on in our lives, but we talk about what's going on in their lives, too. My husband invented this game because he doesn't really get to see the kids very much at all during the day. He's got a demanding job, but that's dinner time is a time for us to be together. He invented this game where he would say, "Tell me something that happened today that made you say, huh? Or that made you say, that's cool," or whatever it is. And they would come up with something. It was easier than saying, "What'd you do today?" And they would come up with something funny, and we never knew it was going to come out of our mouth. And they would turn around and ask us that question. It was a great conversation starter. We still do that sometimes if we're trying to learn more about their days or just trying to keep them at the table.
It's a good cue to give them something more to jump off from than just how was your day.
Yes.
Yeah. Great example. Aviva, what kinds of settings might be especially conducive to instilling appropriate manners?
Well, once in a while, although I do love to cook, we go out to dinner. It used to be an experience that I dreaded because it was not relaxing. If I'm going to go out to dinner, I'm so happy that somebody else is cooking for a change. I really want to be able to enjoy the food. And so one way that we have found to make that easier is on the way to the restaurant, we say, "We are going out to dinner. This is a special treat." I remember when I was a child and we would go out to dinner, it was a special treat, and I was very excited. I don't know how my parents taught us about good manners, but I do remember sitting at the table and not running around the restaurant and enjoying the food, and I may have been older than my children are now. But what we do is on the way to the restaurant, we talk about what is expected of you at a restaurant. And we talk about what happens at a restaurant. The waiter or waitress comes around and takes your order. We say please and thank you to them. It's important. They're working hard. Just go over the ground rules about going out to dinner. We're going to sit at the table. And sometimes we bring activities. If we think it's going to be a long meal, we bring a couple of books or something for them to do. But in my experience, it's not okay for the kids to run around the restaurant. It's dangerous. It's disruptive to other people who are eating in the restaurant. I find it very grating when we go out with other families and the kids are up and all over the place. And I think that this is a great opportunity to teach children about what is expected to them, especially when they go to somebody else's house or when you go to a restaurant. You can't expect your children to remember what's expected of them. And so you're kind of setting yourself up for potential failure if you don't talk to them beforehand and then you get mad at them when you get there. We're leaving. You know, I've seen people storming out of restaurants or yelling at their kids all through the meal. And to tell you the truth, I'm lucky that I've never had that experience. And I once took out my children and my sister's 2 boys out to dinner to a Chinese restaurant. And we were talking beforehand about how we were going to be polite and how we were going to use good manners. And I decided, since I was really hungry and I was really looking forward to going out to this meal, that I would set up a game. And I said, "Okay, we're going to play the good manners game. You guys are going to show me what excellent manners you have," you know, keeping it positive again, "show me your best manners. And whoever has the best manners," and it can be all of you, "at the end is going to get a quarter for the gumball machine at the end."
Oh,
and
that's
so
good.
And these kids, there were, let's see, I think Celia was 4, Solomon was 6, my nephew was 5, and my other nephew was 8. So we had all four of them. They sat down. They were just wowing the staff with their good manners. They were so good. May I please use the restroom? They were so funny, and they exceeded my expectations. But I gave them an opportunity to know what my expectations were and to reward them.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on helping kids learn good manners.
For an audio cassette copy of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Aviva Goldfarb about helping kids learn good manners.
I know that I like to be treated in a way that gives me an opportunity to show my good behavior rather than being humiliated for not showing it. So I think anytime you can give your kids an opportunity to show you what good manners they do have hiding somewhere deep within them, it makes them feel good. And make sure and notice the good behavior that they exhibit. Compliment them. It's almost like stage acting that I say, oh, my goodness, you have such good manners. I can't believe it. I'm so proud of you. You know, I really make a big deal when they do something really nice for somebody else, or when we have guests that come here and the child says, may I please have, I say, oh, my goodness, did you go to good manner school? Where did you learn those good manners? And the kids get a big kick out of it, but they know that I'm telling them that makes me feel good. And I think basically kids do want to please adults.
It's the positive reinforcement that applies so often in many things that we're doing with our children that you're stressing.
And using a sense of humor. I'm sure that having four children and your experiences, you realize how important that is to keep a sense of humor.
You keep suggesting little games.
Yes.
But those are not fancy games people have to go out and buy. What you're saying is stop a minute, think about the humor in the situation, think of a way that is a really appealing approach for kids.
And another thing that I remember was really successful getting my kids to eat well and sit at the dinner table was when they were smaller. They're a little too old for this now, but when they were, you know, 1, 2, 3, we would take their food and we would make a little face on their plate out of their food. And then we would say, you know, talk as if we were the face and say, don't eat my eye, don't eat my eye. Oh, no, you ate my eye. And, you know, they'd get there. Then, of course, once they got to the mouth, you couldn't talk anymore. And so, you know, there are just more ways to make it a fun time and to make family dinner a place that your whole family wants to be. I have read studies that show that children who eat dinner with their families tend to get better grades, to feel better about themselves, to have less of the bad behavior that we hope our children don't have when they become a little older. It's an important time to feel rooted and to feel like you're part of a family, and also to get some good nutrition in your children's tummies. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, I see dinner as an opportunity to give them something healthy and good.
When we were having little kids and we would take them out to a restaurant, I would always bring a whole bag full of things to keep them occupied if it were going to be a long time, crayons and paper and whatever. And very often, because they were all boys, little toy cars or something like that. And I remember during that stage of my life going to a very fancy French restaurant and having the maitre d' take off my coat. Oh, madame, may I take your coat for you? And then this huge crash, out of my pocket came about 17 little toy cars.
I'm very impressed that you brought your four boys to a very expensive French restaurant or fancy.
Maybe they weren't there.
They were not there at the French restaurant. The cars were holdovers.
Maybe we should talk for a minute about some of the things we do wrong occasionally when it comes to teaching manners. Sometimes you see parents doing exactly what you hope you never do in terms of setting an example for your kids.
I'm sure that we all do, and I think that every day is a new opportunity to turn around the things that we have done wrong and try a different approach. I think that sometimes parents get mad at their children before they have explained what the expectations are. And I think children don't understand. As much as, you know, you've had a long day, they've had a long day too, they don't know what's expected of them at the table. It's good to have an opportunity to remind them before dinner, during dinner, what's expected of them in a calm way. Well, I wish we all had a rule that we could only exchange kind words at the dinner table to make it a nice place to be and a place that we would all feel good about afterwards and have sweet dreams after dinner. So I think that we have to look at our own behavior and how we're talking to our spouse, how we are talking to our children, what kind of manners that we are using. And so I think it's really good to take a look in the mirror first and then start working on your children.
I have three sons, all grown men now, and the middle one called me one time from college And he said, Mom, you really let us down when we were growing up. You didn't teach us to set the table. Well, I didn't. That was one of the things I just overlooked when my kids were little. And I set the table. They did other things. But I said, well, why does that matter now? He said, because I was invited to some girl's apartment for dinner, and she gave me the stuff to set the table. And I walked over to the table and realized I didn't know where to put everything.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
I thought, my
all
goodness.
Those years, he's been looking at it and using it. He'd never
noticed. Paid attention. And no one ever said to him, this is where you put things, and these are good things for you to know. Mm-hmm. So all you younger parents out there, learn from my mistake.
And I think, you know, as we were saying before, that not being too critical, you know, my kids are learning to set the table too. And the first time they did it, of course, the table looked hilarious, and the plates were all over, and the doesn't forks over matter. Here, and the spoons over here. And I felt like, you know, I could either say, no, 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 and I could redo it, or I could slowly teach them sort of, well, the napkin goes on the left. I was just happy that they had set the table, and it was pretty cute to sit down and have everything be in a different place. So they try. They really want to make us happy. Give them an opportunity to succeed.
Unfortunately, we have to close this discussion. But before we do, Aviva, we would like to know what resources you would suggest to parents out there who are going to try very hard to do a little civilizing in a little good manner teaching in their, on their own.
Well, I think that there are several things. First, I think that you and your spouse are a great resource to sit down and talk about what is important to you. If you type in on the internet, good manners and kids, there are lots of resources. There's something, I think, called 365 Ways to Teach Your Kids Good Manners, which might be more than any of us need, but it's got games and ideas. There's an article that I've written on table manners on the subject that goes over some of the things that we've discussed today on my website, which is www.thescramble.com. And there's lots of books and articles, and you can look at them and get some ideas and find things that you may or may not agree with and get started and just start slowly.
Well, you have given us all a very good start, so we can take it from here. So, Aviva Goldfarb, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, and have good dinners with your families, everybody.
Thank you. Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 240. Tell us if you can what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Washington, D.C. with Kids is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. We'd like to remind you about some important toll-free numbers for parents and kids. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, 1-800-THE-LOST, or 1-800-843-5678. And the National Runaway Switchboard is 1-800-621-4000. That's 1-800-621-4000. Our sound engineer today is Sanjay Dilawari. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.